now book. And dealing with stage one, the pioneering stage. There are seven stages of development of a pastor. Now all of these characteristics would overlap the pastor, the apostle, the prophet, the teacher, the pastor, the evangelist. Some of them may overlap. It's talking about the fivefold ministry gifts. And I'll go right down the line with the apostle. He lists seven things that the pioneer stage. I've been a pioneer in my life, so I understand what it is. And I think if you start out right, you'll end up right. In dealing with the pioneer stage, the author points out that he must know his calling to that locality. Now, you know, I got a long story here in Darrow. It's a place that the Lord appointed me to be. It didn't seem like the ideal place. And I think where ministers get in trouble at, I remember dealing with one of my sons in the gospel. He kept talking about, Dr. Randolph, he kept talking about Houston, but he's in Channelview. That's where the Lord told him to be. So finally, I got enough of it. And I told him, I said, now, Patrick, you're in Channelview. We're going to start working on Channelview, not worry about Houston. See, sometimes population and numbers and look like a better place and a better ideal to be in a certain place, more people, or look like it's going to work out better. Like Philip, he over there in the park. Don't seem like no ideal place to be. If he move out the park, he will not be successful. See, that's his locality. That's where God placed him at. Me here in Darrow, that's where God placed him at. So I know the major focus here is what God says and where God puts you. And you start working there. You work wherever God sets you up to work, and it'll work out. And then he talks about, and we'll get into it further, build a base for future operations. I remember building this ministry. You know, I was building bases all the time. I didn't know exactly where she was going to go. But as the Lord implemented and as the Holy Spirit showed me, a ministry has to be built. Yes, sir. And you have to take your time and set it apart where future things can operate and function properly. You need a clear vision of God's purpose. Now, I see people jumping and doing things, and they're still jumping. They've been jumping for the last 20, 25 years because they don't have a clear vision of God's purpose. See, now, I was telling my grandson, he come to school with me, and I was telling him, I said, you know, sometimes here's one of the major problems. Deciding what you want to do and ask God to bless it. That's what a mess up at, see? Yeah. And he's not obligated to bless what you start. Find out what he wants you to do, and he will bless it. And so, you know, the Bible said, well, there's no vision, what? The people what? Perish, yeah. So there must be a vision. You know, changing the life of people with the word of God is one of my visions. Is the aspect of my major thing, change a lot of people with the word of God. That's what I've been doing all the while, no matter what I do. And then there must be a gathering of people. You can't have no ministry without no people, you know. And you must carry a testimony of life, not just charisma. I guess we're going to get into that a little deeper. A testimony of life. I want to, and I'll be hitting sideline because I don't know exactly the Lord in my prayer time. Just give me the freedom to just flow in this teaching tonight, and maybe to help you to line yourself up properly, and you won't have to go through the failures and the downfall that many have gone through because they haven't lined themselves up properly with God. Now, I was, if you let me use the word fortunate, no, the word blessed. I was blessed because I was able to get into alignment with God. You follow what I'm saying? And so God kept blessing. He's still blessing. You see, what others thought it wasn't a blessing, it came out to be more of a blessing because it's aligned up with God. So it make ministry perplexed, vexed, persecuted, That's always going to be in ministry. But when you're in God's plan, you're in God's purpose, you're in God's will, you're in God's place, it doesn't matter. I read for a devotional opening in my life this morning, the 37th Psalm. You should read that kind of often. The 37th Psalm is so powerful because it lets you know that things that look like it growing like a green bay tree is really not going to last. Only what God does lasts. All right? So you must have a testimony of life, not just charisma. A lot of guys out there with ministry, all they have is charisma. And that's one of the stopping forces Satan using. Just having a lot of charisma is not enough. You have to have a testimony. You got to have a life. You got to live this. You can't just preach this or teach this or say God called you. This thing has to be lived. Must be resource manager. In other words, you can't be a pop and mom 5 and 10 cent store with the ministry. You got to handle God's money right. And you got to keep your money separated from the Lord's money. You got to handle it right. And we'll talk about that. And they need to have someone having oversight over him. Now that's connection there. It's so important to have proper connection. Let's start with the pioneer stage here. Let's look at some things here. Talking about a pastor. At this stage, the pioneer pastor is just planting his church in that locality. It's just a beginning. And you're going to have some challenges. If you're talking about ministry. Uh-huh. And you can't be a hobo minister because things broke out and didn't go right. You're going to move to some other city. You see, and you think your success, the success is not in the people, it's in what God told you to do. And then I remember this, he's a one-man band. And he actively involved in every aspect of the work. I did that down in Darrow. You know, it'd be, 38 years? I did that, a one-man band. I mean, you had to do everything. You cut grass, paint, do whatever, answer the door, answer the phone, answer everything. Here's something that I've seen over the years, and I'll share some of my experience with you that have been very successful. Not by might, nor by power, but by spirit, all right? But overstaffing. I'm talking about ministry. Getting too many people when you don't need them. Almost saying trying to be big when what? Little got you. And that caused a problem. And I know large ministries have that problem. Now God always blessed me in selecting people to work for me. I never did overstaff. I think a person needs to have something to do. Not just to sit in the ministry. But in the beginning, you have to work. You have to work. You have to labor. You just get pray and read the Bible when you begin. Because you're developing something. You're starting something from scratch. And it's good for you to learn this and hear this in school. It's very important. I think the apostle laid this thing out. Then he says, in that pioneer stage, if you want things to come out right, he personally monitors every new department he raises up. There must be discipline. There must be accountability in ministry. There must be responsibility in ministry. My staff know here, I have 22 employees. They know. They know that once I say, all right, we got a meeting, they know I'm going to draw some line here. We're going to have this. I don't like the way this is going. Let's get this straight. Now, I got a good staff. Thank God for that. I think God picked them out. But they know when I'm real strict about it, I'm kind of lackadaisical and don't say anything. But when it comes time to come into alignment, I'm real strong and I'm real bold about this because I think we cannot be blessed if we don't do that. Okay, so I don't know what avenue God's going to use you all in, but you can't be compromising in a ministry. With people, you have to be firm, and then if you find out it's not going to work, you ask them to leave. Yeah, because they'll hurt your ministry. I know some people got people employed for them. Now they don't want them, but they don't tell them that. But you need to do that because hold back. See, it's more than just all spiritual. You got to organize. You got to, words I'm using, responsibility, accountability. Those words are very non-compromising position. There are certain things that I require of my employees. They all got to come to prayer meeting. They never leave here before I leave after service. They don't get in their car and drive off. I'm still here. Me and my wife still here. So they congregate on their own. Now, I didn't put that on them. They knew that. The right thing to do. Don't leave the man of God and go into your house. If he stayed 2 hours after service, you stayed 2 hours. You see my men, they're standing there, and all the rest of them, my secretary, they never just run off and leave. But that's built up over the years. I can train a lot of pastor staff if they wasn't so big-minded.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You know, and I have somebody ask me, you know, I've had large ministers ask me, how you get people like that? I said, well, you just do, you work it. You got to work with them and talk with them and let them know you love them and pray for them. And then he talks about every visitor is a prospective member and have a mindset that every place we meet could be our mission field. So you always got to be alert. My ministry never leave my surroundings. I'm always aware. When I walk up here on Sunday morning, I think it had about six, seven people at the altar Sunday. But when I walk up here, you know, I'm preaching. If there's somebody God is sending, I want them to have a free rope to come and get blessed. You always got to have the pioneer and pastor anointing and vision draws the people and motivate the believer. Well, over the years, you know, the Lord told me, the east from the east, west, north, and south, you've heard this. And he just draw all kind of people. The Lord has to do the drawing. I think what happened, I don't like, lack of a better word, what folds a ministry, M-O-F-O-L-D, folds a ministry or stunt a ministry is you trying to draw the people. Now, your anointing has something to do with it, but make sure it's your anointing. Draw the people and motivate the believer. The growth of the church centered around the gift and talent and anointing of the founding pastor. Now, that gifting and talent and anointing can be dangerous. Because a lot of time, people build a church instead of building on Christ, they build it on talent. Or they build it on singing, or they build it on some charismatic notion they got. They're not solid. You know, Jesus said, I'll build my church upon the rock. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So I don't ever worry about a takeover or a takedown. You don't have to if you build it right. So write in your notes, I must build my ministry right. You got to build it right. You build it right, you get the foundation straight, and when you start building it, it's going to work out. But what we got now is a lot of looky-loos and a jumpy-doos. They're jumping. They say, God said, do this. God said, do that. And it really, a lot of time, and you look like the worst enemy in the world. Pastor, I don't know if y'all have ever heard that. But they think you're your enemy, but I'm really not an enemy. I'm trying to do what the Lord told me to do, protect you. You know, I can't vouch for it unless I have a witness in my spirit. The Lord said, tell Philip, go so and so. Then I got that witness. But I'm not going to lie and say I have the witness, but I don't have the witness. And I'm not going to butt up with you to say it's all right because I know what you're going up against.
Yeah, right.
And it'll send your behind back in.
Yeah.
Then now they're too proud.
Right. Yes, sir.
To come back and say, you know, they're too proud to come back and say, well, nothing happened.
Yeah.
They don't want you to know that.
Yes, sir.
See? So you save yourself a lot of headache, and this is what's going on most of the time. Going into ministry too fast, ahead of time, look at me in operation and say, boy, I can do this. All right. All right. No. It take time. Are you listening to me? It take time. And, you know, the fellas who give you a party and give you some chairs, give you some money and tell you go, that's not your friend. The fellow who tell you, I ain't heard nothing, that's your friend. Because if the time come, the fellow who holding you up to the plow, that person will really help you.
Right.
But it got to be a genuine thing from God. So we got a lot of ministry started that God had nothing to do with.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I thought I'd just give you that. All right, so let's go over the pioneer pastor must be assured that he had been called to that place and locality. Now, I'm more sure that I'm called here than my name Leroy.
Yes, sir.
Why? Yoke easy, burden light. You say, you have any challenges? Absolutely. But you see, challenges are not really challenges when you're in socket with God.
Yes, sir.
You're like David and Goliath. I mean, look like David. Boys, I know some of them boys, you ain't heard of it. He didn't have it now. He can come out here with you. He didn't have it now. But God was in socket with him, you see. So you must be assured that you're called to the prayer. Let's look at some things that, and if he was called to that locality, he had been equipped with the grace necessary to prevail in that locality. God, dog. Y'all didn't even get it. You see, if you call an area, well, how sweet it is. God will grace you, you know. He'll give you the grace. Yeah, he'll make his yoke easy. Even though you got attacks, you got persecution. You know what Paul said? Look in 2 Corinthians 4, I think it is, where he's talking about perplexed on every hand, in despair. Is that in the Bible? That's in the Bible. I read that, you know, because you think ministry all Holy Ghost shouting. No. But if you hooked up with God properly, is that the right text? Yeah. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. That's a good word. I said that's a good word. That's, I'm ready to preach now. That's a good preaching word there, boy. Because you have to give God the glory. Now, I'm teaching on worship in church service, and I found out, you know, we just come out of this grace epitaph, because I got, after 40, 45 hours of listening and studying, the Lord came to my bedroom about 4:30 in the morning, and he told me, he said, balance grace with the whole counsel of God. You can't have no grace and leave truth out. And he said, he got... You watch it, or you watch it? Yeah, I'm watching. He said, it takes verse out of the Bible.
Yeah.
He said, get that straight. It's one of the greatest challenges I ever had in my life. And I've had demons and all kind of stuff, but this is one of the greatest challenges. That thing looked like hairline, like it's just right. And it wasn't nothing but the Holy Spirit arrested me and showed me. Now I'm responsible as an apostle to watch over the body of Christ with things such as these. People are crying out. My sister asked, what about the consequence? What about your sin? Another God asked, do I have to ask God to forgive me? You know, and all those things, they were wiping them out as they go, wiping them out. But it was so much good stuff, but that was covered. And then only the Holy Ghost, thank God for the Holy Ghost, said, uncovered it, because you can't be doing all this kind of stuff and just expect God to put up with your foolishness. You better repent, get yourself back in line with God, you know. But here we got now. We got in dealing with this locality, called a locality, he had been equipped with the grace. See, you got to be equipped with grace. Apostle Paul talks about that in his ministry. He said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. You got to have some grace in your life. When a man or a woman who operates in grace make it look hard to another person. Say, how she doing that? How you doing that? They're not doing it. You see, even if you go to Ephesians chapter 4, when it talks about the gifts of the Spirit, talk about the ministry gift, those gifts, apostle, prophet, teacher, pastor, those are all graces. They must operate by graces from God. God hand on me. God mouth on me. God power on me. God strength on me. God direction on me. God wisdom on me. You see me, Clan? You see, ain't no start up getting some chair and putting some sign up. Did God send you there? God is not responsible to hear your prayer if he didn't send you. Whoa. Whoa. You praying. And see, sometimes we eat too much. And we think it's a revelation, but it's indigestion. I'm telling you the truth. And you know, I'm not talking about no one particular person. I'm covering the whole blanket that you can come out right and you can know that now God is ready.
Yeah.
See, you can't determine how long you're going to serve another man.
Right. That's good. Yes, sir.
You serve him till you fall out.
Yes,
and then get up and start serving some more. You don't know. Because if your day, if it's a day, if it's a day. Now, say like one of the wisest men I know is Ronald Goodrow. Ronald ain't looking for nothing, ain't asking for nothing. And like Junior, people call him Junior the preacher. Junior said, I don't know where I'm going now. I said, you know, they just, but they're not jumping. They try to jump out there and go fishing by themselves. When they're supposed to help me with my boat.
Yes, sir, that's right. Yes, sir.
That's an important time in your ministry. That's an important time in your ministry. I did it with my old pastor. I did it for many years. I sat there standing communion. He preached. He preached at every house. They serve communion when they're sick.
Yeah.
And he preached at every house. I just hold it.
Yeah.
I'm learning some stuff, man. I learn a text. He preaching. Yes, I hold it. We get back home late at night, hungry, man.
Yeah.
But I stayed out there with him.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So notice this now. Even though we have this treasure, but notice verse 8 now by many. We're trouble on every side. You see that?
Yes, sir.
But look what he said next. Yet not distressed. Why? God with him. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Hello, class.
Yes, sir.
Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. And then he talked about always bearing the mark of the Lord Jesus. So the grace has to be on you. Yeah, my man, a man or woman who have grace on them, and a man or woman who have placed themselves, they're always concerned about who going to leave, who coming. It's just a headache, man. And then when you set in a ministry like this, I like what the author said, the people must know that this is not a temporary attempt, but a permanent task.
Yes, sir.
They could never think this church was temporary. Because I have my whole heart, just like I am right here tonight, my whole heart always been in it. Why? I know he told me come to Darrell Road. I know he told me what to do. Did I miss it sometime? Yes. But I'm in his will. So he corrects me and directs me and helps me. See, it's worse God even exposed people who about to hurt themselves. And then try to talk to them, but you can't talk to them. You know what they think? Holding me back.
You've been passing
a while. You know, holding me back. You're holding me back. I'm trying to go. Now, I know it ain't time to go. But they go anyway. So it's not a temporary attempt, but a permanent task, you know. Though your beginning be small, you do it right, your latter end shall greatly increase. All right. The author say here, no one, you're talking about getting a church, no one want to work long term and commit unreservedly for a short term goal and vision. It thing fizz out, you know. But some do need to fizz out. People must know that he is built into the work. They must know, the people must know that he is built into the work, that he would not leave, and that he would not leave for greener pasture. See, you know, you kind of jump it. Somebody make you an offer, and you tell the people, I got to go now. Because you're trying to build an overnight ministry, so you got a bigger number and a bigger salary and a bigger this and a bigger, and the Lord didn't tell you to go. So people got to know you're going to stick with it. And that he's not a hireling.
Right.
Or a shepherd lay down his life for his sheep.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. People, and we're talking about pastoring, overseeing, people have to know you there. You're real. They can trust you. So he said a pioneering pastor must build the church he is pioneering into a base for the future operation of his ministry. They must be built properly, very important. Must be built properly. Now, thank God, I'm going to say this, by the grace of God, this my ministry have a solid seam in it.
Yes, sir.
You know, it was sold right. You see, not by my ability, just the grace of God. I just obeyed him. He said, Darryl, you do Darryl. You're going to do Jim Darryl. But it got seam in my ministry, and I run with some of the biggest boys in the world in ministry, and I didn't see that seam. I know one man one time, his church grew too fast for him. I mean, people just coming. I mean, just coming. And he stood up and asked the court and said, what you do? You ain't got nobody trying. These people constantly coming, you know. You just told him to pray and obey God, you know, just trust God. And he basically lost that ministry. He lost that ministry. Why? He got busy doing other things. He lost his ministry. He got to playing golf. I told him, I said, man, you're playing golf too much. If some of them boys would have just listened to me, there's a bunch of them. I'd call them, you would know them if they just would listen to me. I said, I don't know everything, but I know something. And he said, I got it. And then he called me on the carpet because I didn't go to a meeting that the Lord told me not to go to. And so if he had the audacity to call me on the carpet, I called him on the carpet. I said, don't you have a Brazilian woman? Who told you? I said, do you have a Brazilian woman on the side? No, I ain't got a Brazilian. I said, yeah, you got a Brazilian woman on the side calling you, getting on me. The Lord talked to me. Did the Lord tell you to get that woman? He said, no, I ain't got no woman. A few months later, divorced his wife, married the woman. Not a woman going back to Brazil. And he's about to lose his whole ministry. Just would have paid attention. See, here's what happened. Here's a smart fellow who won't pay attention to somebody wearing an anointed. And then he just lost his ministry, man. So let's build it right. They must be built properly. Raise men and women with the concept of building the base. You must never release all the good men from a local base, but keep as many as we can to strengthen and to equip the base. Don't let them go. If the Lord didn't tell them go, I'll go with them. Let them get mad. They find some of them get mad and leave because they're looking at cars and rings and suits. Isn't that stupid? They're looking at that. They ain't ministry. And so they got their mind on that, so their mind really not on the people. Yeah. Their mind is on the glamour and the glory. That's what they want. See, and so they say, I'm going to build me. They're going to be a big one. The kneeler is in a balloon before they take off. Yeah. Going flat. All right. The Lord helped me to raise men. Now, God forbid that I glory in his place. But here at Word of Life, the reason that the school is so strong and the allows is so strong is that God helped me with my ignorant self to do it right. Yeah, and you got to be kind of ignorant. Yeah, because so you won't get in God's way with your plan. So I just held on to him and said, Lord, what way to go now? I said, Lord, don't let nothing down that road. He said, that's the way to go. I said, yes, sir, boo. Yeah. See? And so it come out successful. I mean, you know. So don't ever release all the good men. God, don't put all these good men around you for all of them to go start a ministry.
Right.
You need some solid, strong men who can take a whipping, take a licking, and say, God put me here. God going to bless me. I'm going to stay right where God put me. The pioneering pastor need to discover the purposes why God wanted him to raise up a church. See, now you see, you can't raise a ministry without a purpose. Why God? I know why God wanted me to raise this church here in Darryl, because the Deep South was hurting with religion. Now people come here from all over the world. I'm bragging on God now, John, you understand? I'm talking about God. Leroy didn't do that. But I'm just telling you, if you do it right, it's going to come out right. The clarity of purpose helped the pastor set proper priorities and establish a focus for the course of his future destiny. Listen, you can hear this for your ministry. You can hear this. If you believe God got a call in your life, the clarity of purpose help the pastor set proper priority. This is not just for pastors. You understand that? Evangelists too. And establish a focus for the course of his future destiny. You see what he's saying? See what he's saying there? Powerful. So the pioneer pastor needs to discover the purposes why God wanted him to raise up a church. See? And now this church is a headquarters from all over the world. See? How you go to Brazil from Darro? You know what I'm saying? It's the Lord's doing, see? It's the Lord doing, the Lord time. God told him about the plane. He said, that's your plane. Yes, one of the biggest miracles, I wish that one day I would tell you all about it. That plane is one of the biggest miracles that ever happened in his ministry. Yes, God did it.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. The pioneer pastor must be a gatherer of people. David was a real gatherer of people. They came to him because they had hope of a changed life. Changed life. You come in here on Sunday morning, there's an excitement. And the excitement is, they don't know what's going to happen here, because I don't know what's going to happen. But whatever happened, God's going to have the head of it. Yeah, excited. And when a church is right, it produces a better society and a greater nation. They came to him with great anticipation that he would lead them to fulfill their broken and shattered dream. See, it's not just preaching. It's not just charisma. Say, for instance, I was praying in tongues, driving my wife and I was coming off a trip. I'm praying in tongues, and I'll give you this word. I'm praying in tongues. All of a sudden, I heard the word inventory. I said, now, what this got to do? I'm praying in tongues. What is inventory? And then he said, pray some more. I pray some more. He says, open. Inventory open. You know, I thought about God inventory. You think you got a pretty good inventory? Pretty good stock of stuff, you know? Inventory open. So now, this happened to me sometime. Now, he wasn't through. Either I didn't pray long enough, so I'm praying on tongues sitting on the porch just today, getting ready for night praying in tongues. He says, make your order what you want. Order what you want. Now, y'all didn't write that down? Inventory open, order what you want. That's a rhema word. That's a prophetic word from God. You can bring that before God and say, God, this, the apostle just told us this. He said, you said it. So, yes, what I want. Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord. He'll do what? Give you the desire of your heart. God ain't no hard master, man. God, good. You know, so you got to be attention to this. Now, I'll tell you another one. You see, now you might not have thought this one was too spiritual. I'm praying in tongues, and the Lord says, let the cat out the bag. I say, let the cat out the bag. Let the cat out the bag, man. This don't sound like nothing too spiritual. And I kept praying in tongues. He said, he'll kill all the rats. Ah, what interpreting is anybody coming against you?
Yeah.
See? 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 And so. You know, so I jammed my sons this morning. I jammed Junior the older, and I jammed Montrell this morning. I said, now, how much you prayed in tongue today? I said, every day you got to pray at least a half hour before you talk to men in tongue. See, Kenneth Hagin and Smith Wiggleworth, key in ministry was, average guy never caught it, praying in the Holy Ghost. How you do all you do, you know? We got to go into Washington, and I pray in the Holy Ghost. Trust the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Spirit. See. You know, I might ask you, how much time you spend praying in the Spirit today? Praying in the Spirit. See, it's so important. And the average guy don't know nothing about ministry. They don't know nothing about it because they have not gone further enough in the Spirit. See, now the Holy Ghost is coming on me right now just talking about that. Praying in the Spirit. Man, I said, we got to pray in the Spirit, man. We got to get lost in the Spirit. You know old saying, get lost in the Spirit? Huh? Then God go to tell you something. See, some of y'all, God been trying to talk to you, give you a word while you're praying. It don't make no sense to you. It don't make no sense. You ain't dealing with you in your senses. He's dealing with you in your spirit. So take the word, because he's going to give you something else to go with it.
Yes, sir.
They came to him with great anticipation that he would lead them to fulfill their broken and shattered dream. I mean, anybody would be a part of a church like that, man, I might get my answer today. Glory to God. There was one of my texts I preached when I heard it, got money coming. They was in debt. They were discouraged. Then 2 Samuel 22. Distressed and defeated in every way. But David organized them and drew them 400 strong to 600 valiant men. That's in 2 Samuel 22:1-2. And you look in the 27th chapter, 2nd verse, 25th. Well, we're going to read it because some of y'all are broken down. Come on. Go to 2 Samuel. Go to 2 Samuel. Yeah, I'm telling you. I know. Everything ain't working. It's so lovely. Yeah, Reverend. You're going to preach this thing. Preach it where I can get a hold of what I need to get a hold of. You know, you can get tied up in how to grow a big church, or how to have a big ministry. No, you got to start small, and you got to see how far he wants you to go, because large ministries does not mean success. The old boy got 80 or 90 members doing exactly what God tell him to do. Just keep chugging along. I did it many years. I was just happy. I was hanging with boys who had 7,000-8,000 members. I was hanging with them. I had about 100-something members. I was just happy as I could be. All right, now let's see now. This has to be 1 Samuel. It had to be 1 Samuel. Bobby, you got 2nd. It had to be 1 Samuel. The book might have been wrong. 1 Samuel 22. I knew I was going against my own understanding with these notes. 1 Samuel 22. David departed therefore, verse 1, dancing, escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father have heard it, they went down thither to him. Went to David. Elisha said to Elijah 3 times, I will not leave thee. The other one was out there looking for, the Bible said it was far off. Yeah, yeah. And they kept vexing this boy. See, you found that man too close. Yeah. And the Bible said when Elijah threw his mantle on Elijah, he burning the plow, whatever you're doing, getting it out of his life. But the Bible said something very in the 19th chapter of 1 Kings. He said he went after him to minister to him. Yes, don't just sit around and eat soup. When you're connected to somebody, you need to minister to them. You need to be with them, encourage them, help them every way you can. And that's how the blessing comes. Don't be trying to steal nothing. You can't steal spiritual things. That's stealing. So here, look how bad a condition these people in the 2nd verse. And everyone that was in distress, everyone that was in debt, everyone that was discontented, there it is again, gathered themselves unto him. A man. And the man became a captain over them. That's government there. There was with him about 400 men. They gathered around him, see. And he organized. He was anointed for that. Organized. Then the 27th, let's see the 27th chapter. Hallelujah. And David arose, and he passed over the 600 men that were with him unto Achish, the son of Machir, the king of Gath. See them 600 men, now they're rising up because they're with him, you see. 25:13. Just showing you how development went. Are you with me, Clarence? How that development, you have to be developed to handle ministry properly. And David said unto his wives, David said to his men, gird yourself on every man his sword, and the girdle on every man, and they girded on every man his sword, and David also girded on his sword. And there went up after David about 400 men, and 200 aboard by the stuff. In other words, he trained them, they're still with him. And he trained them how to battle and how to win. And that's so important. I mean, in a church, people get tired going to a church with no goal, no purpose, no plan. Their dreams can't get met. And it's a mess all the time. And it's because something wasn't organized right. And I'll be thinking about what people think, you know. One guy say, he got all his family in the church. Hell yeah, I got all my family in here. It's the legacy of the church. That would be extremely wrong not to train my son. They need to train their crazy children. The people, that's crazy, man. That's crazy. That's why I told them in the minister's conference, take care of your children. Put your children on the front row. I mean, everybody who joined the ministry ought to know. God called families. I told him in the organization. Junior come up to preach and said, you're looking at your next president.
That's right. That's right.
I'm not going to go and go get somebody else and put him where Junior can handle it.
That's right. Yes, sir.
I've seen that happen in the organization about to dissolve now because they put somebody in that son play. That son, I could have got a hold of that man. Put your son there and just keep your hand on his shoulder.
Yeah.
Them guys going to respect him because he's your son.
Yeah.
The other guy didn't even respect him. The other guy, nice guy. Them guys, they ain't want him to lay a hand on him. I said, this is a sad day. The pioneering pastor must be a good and godly man. Good and godly. Good and godly. The humanity of the pastor must be as expressive as his charismatic ministry. You know, he's a human. You know, so pastors miss it. Evangelists miss it. You're going to miss it. You're human. But when God gave you that space to correct it, don't be too proud to correct it. You're in a learning. We need to be able to touch others with our life, not just our message. Hello! We need to be able to touch others with our life, not just our message. You understand that? If you're going to be in ministry, you all prepare with your message, but your life a mess. No, you got to touch people with your life. You got to show them, God did this for me. And I missed it too. And I tried to jump the ditch and I fell in the ditch too. But God raised me up. Don't throw your human part away trying to be all charismatic, and you just left heaven, and you never. That's why when I went to the Lord, show me about that grace. I said, all right, God. I'm a dot, cut all these T's down and tear all these I's now. I'm going to get this thing back right.
Yeah, yes, sir.
And that's the first time that ever happened to me. But this apostleship is something, boy. As long as I was a pastor, I had never gone through this. But this apostleship. Man, I got to start praying more. Man, God, man, now you're dealing with me about worship.
Yes, sir.
He said, a glory ain't been coming now. I said, what? He said, mostly emotion and excitement. He said, they block my glory with their talents. And they're singing to the people instead of letting the people get involved with me. So it's entertainment instead of endowment. And so now I got to go to all my son's church now and tell them, watch these people in their church and make them. And boy, Sunday, I want to cry. Sunday, the people are so hungry to worship God and sing themselves. They've been serenaded so long. I said, Lord, these people are getting free. Right here in this church. I heard them sing. I hear the melody of heaven, man. I see God stooping over us. Swinging his arm over us, you know, training us with his glory. We're going to see greater things. More miracles. I think miracles, signs, wonders, revelation, wisdom, knowledge, understanding, joy, peace, all that been blocked to a certain degree by entertainment. And so now I got to go into the body of Christ and teach on worship from an apostolic point of view. And that's church government, you know. Then they said a pioneer pastor must be a manager of all the resources of the church. Got to do it right, man. Just got to do it right. There are three major areas of resources in any church. Every pioneering pastor must learn how to manage people well. Learn how to manage people well. And we got, you know, we got the 12 here. We got life barrels. And I think the setup we got is real good because hospitals and family attacks or whatever going on, these men and women are on top of it. I can't beat all those places, but I got men and women that I trust doing a splendid job. We thought it was some kind of teaching thing, but really it was for the oversight to take care of the ministry. Must learn how to manage the finances of their church. If you got to learn how to manage finances, you don't be messed with money and buying stuff unless God tell you to do it. You got to handle it right. One thing I've done all my life, handling money right. I mean, much money as I deal with, I handle the money right, partner.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yes, sir, absolutely. You got to. He is the pastor. He's the primary steward of everything dedicated for the Lord's kingdom and ministry. You're the steward of it. God holding you accountable. Now, here's something that we've been suffering from. I believe to a certain degree I had this apostolic and prophetic call on me for many years. I've spent a lot of time. I've been hungry for ever since I've been saved. I never lost it. Even today, I've eaten like a little boy, a little child today. Just on the way, go, where you at? What you want to do? You know what I'm saying? Now, that's just the way, and it's just God gave me that. And I get full when I talk about it because I know it's a gift. Yes. I mean, you don't automatically have your mind, God, you know, I got all them big screen TVs in my house and big house and a theater and all that stuff. And you have anything you want, you know, going. But I stay hungry for God.
Yes,
you know. So the pioneering pastor needs someone who can exercise apostolic oversight over him and his ministry. Now, the reason this has been so jacked up is you got to find some apostle who don't want to be, you know, be in your pocket. Just looking for a group to follow them for something. He said a lack of mentoring and fathering has caused many pioneering pastors to be put out on a suicide mission rather than an apostolic thrust. Suicide mission? Apostolic thrust. Now, what an apostolic thrust is that you have somebody who looking out for you deeper in the dimension of the spirit. I could take Dr. Fogg for that. He's had his whipping, see, because when you have oversight, they don't always tell you directly what to do. But if you listen at them, they're telling you what not to do. And so a few times he override his not to do, and he came back and admitted he already, he said, yeah, all right, I shouldn't have done that, you know. And now he's getting back in socket, see. You know, you go with a man, oversight, you go with a man, that's why I think that apostolic anointing was there. You go, man, fly you in to preach for him, and then you go pray and dedicate a building for him that him and his people think that's the building he's supposed to get next, you know. And you go in the building and look around and go back and get in the car. Don't say nothing. You know. But 2 months later, he had a facility fully furnished, dropped in his hand. Now, you know, the auditorium bigger than this one. But it's all because of apostolic cover. Then he says here the pioneer must essentially possess a pioneering anointing to embrace that call successfully. A pioneering anointing. Now, I must have had some of that too, because you down here in the deep south, come down here to Darrow, boy, this is crazy land here. And these people, you know, and I'm tearing Mason signs off, taking bells off top of the church, taking steeples down, moving crosses, doing every kind of stuff, man. You got to be out your mind, or the Lord must be with you. Because some of these deacons will kill you, boy. You come up with that crazy, you know. I don't know if y'all know. Y'all don't know no real tough deacon. Y'all know anybody ever been around a real tough deacon? Yeah. None of y'all never been around a real tough deacon? Deacons who run the church.
Yes.
Yeah, tear it down. I either go my way, they ain't going away at all. You come here Sunday morning, everybody gonna be smoking. Some ministers are called the pioneer, while others are better in supportive role to a pioneer. Oh! I don't want to hear that. Get my ministry, putting my logo up. Let me tell you about a logo. A logo represents local. You're out of your mind if your God didn't tell you to go there. You just all them pretty signs and stuff. Ain't gonna weigh in draw on people. When they come, they're gonna leave. They're not gonna stay, you know. So make sure, listen. Make sure before you go out that the Lord telling you to go out.
Amen.
Don't talk about I finished the school of ministry. School of ministry, all right. No, make sure, you see, because you're going to go out serving somebody fully.
Yes, sir.
Until your time up serving them.
Yes, sir.
And your time up serving them might not be no 3 or 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 a year.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
What?
Yes, sir.
How long can I serve? As long as the Lord tell you, might not never leave.
Yeah.
But you got to be, as again I use Ronald, you got to be happy in the role where you are.
Yeah.
Then I honor the man because the man got out of the way of my son. Told me, he said, now, he been helping me all the while. Good preacher. He said, now, Junior ready now. What? You think I raised him right? Maybe that's the thing. I raised him right. He paid attention.
Yeah.
He wasn't, you know, he had a brother who was in a different hall. He was another hall. His brother was wise. Brother going on to be the Lord now. Good God, I got him saved. But he was just inching in his pants. Just, he won't sing and all that, you know. And we tried to calm him down, but he had to go. Man, just, good God.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? Two brothers. I'm talking about a brother. I got a brother here and the other brother died.
Yeah.
Both of them good men. Then he had another brother here. Good guy. But he just got things on his mind, you know. But Ronald just sat there and watched them all. Just sit and said, watch them roll. Watch them roll. Because you got to know where God put you, man. Where God plants you, that's where you're going to flourish.
Amen?
Then he says a pioneer needs somebody to watch over him and monitor his progress until he has established self-government of his own ministry and church. See? Now, I'm really not talking about self. You know, because let me give you a secret here. Satan not your problem. Sin not your problem. Self is your problem. Mm-hmm. See, because you have authority over Satan. Right? And you have power over sin, right?
Yes.
Who left?
Self.
That's why Jesus said in Luke 9:23. You know what he said in Luke 9:23? Romans 12:1-3. 1 Corinthians 9:27. Huh? You better get yourself together. See? Yeah. And yield yourself to the will of God. Self. It's not everybody. Satan. No, it ain't Satan. Because you born of God's spirit. You're the righteousness of God. You have God's anointing. Satan can't rule you. That ain't sin. Yeah, sin there. But sin don't have no authority over you. Die. Keep yourself crucified. Keep yourself crucified. All right, now here. Here's something that might not sound too spiritual. It says stage 2, the administrative stage. And you need to hear about this. What to do in the administrative stage of a ministry. Number one, build by design, not just by inspiration. See, that's something you're not going to be inspired to do. It's just the right thing to do. All right? And then doing that, oh my, still does most of the pastoring. My sons know this, my daughters know this. You don't need to have all these people in your pulpit.
Right, right.
Your people become frenetic. They don't know what way to go. You got all these different people. I know what. I swear I pulpit with them boys a good while back. But then the Lord started dealing with me. he said, you preach to your people. And so I started doing it. And then, you know, they think, I wasn't 50. I was cut loose by a lot of them. Because they think about pulpit swapping. Authority structure is directly under him. Then you train believers for spiritual leadership. And you have to develop your ministry where your members are integrated. They recognize each other, respect. And you know, you can't pass love and compassion along that line. Let's go to stage two in administrative. And you read it in your book. What to do in the administrative stage. What is this? I just give you that build by design and not just by inspiration. So it must be an overlap in my notes. All right, let's deal with build by design and not just by inspiration. Number one, it said the pastor must build the people, not just bless them. Whoa! Yeah. Whoa! You got these bless me clubs. And all scriptures given by inspiration of God for what? Doctrine, improve, instruction. You see? So you must build the people, not just bless them. You get this bless me club. They come to church and they're jumping. They want to be blessed, blessed. No, build them so they can manifest blessing. They know how to get a hold of God for themselves. Don't just depend on you all the time. Build them. Build them where? Build them in the spirit. Build them in revelation. Build them in understanding. Build them in correction. Build them in direction. Build them in instruction. Build them in holiness. Build them in sanctification. Yeah. Tell them that's not right. Yeah. You know, that grace message, you can just do anything you want to do. That grace message, not the grace message. Yeah. Just do anything. God all right. Yeah. Got me saying crazy stuff like that, man. And God said, what are you talking about? I ain't all right nothing. In essence, you know what I'm saying? Get it straight. I'm a holy God. I expect you to live right. Amen. Whatever man saw it. Yeah. You got to throw all the Bible out to preach that stuff like that, man. Yeah. Couldn't it? I said, Lord, how you let this get over to me? He said, well, he's training me. So I have other things to do. But I got people around me now. Thank God that I'm matured. Not a little crybaby. Can't build nothing but no crybaby. They're fighting it. The hot bunny now, they're fighting over the bottle. You ain't got to get the distinguished, man. Put the fire out. Get the bottle later. So the pastor must build the people, not just bless the people. I guess the greatest sight of that is Acts 20, 28. Take heed to yourself, to all the flock. Watch the Holy Ghost that made you overseer and feed the church of God, which he had purchased with his own blood. You know, he said, grievous wolves going to come in, not sparing the flock. Some going to rise up in perversion in the flock. He must have a design and a strategy for building the work, a clear action plan to work on how to raise up each pillar and each structure of God's house. And you know, that's spiritually talking. You train people. I believe, again, class, I hold this ministry before you. You know, I've trained a lot of people, hand train them. Now, the man I was talking about, Ron, he said in here, but I train him. Scratch, come in here as a Catholic born. Train him. He watch every move I make. Now, on the other hand, there was another man. The man is fighting for his life today. But he should have stayed with me. I did everything I could. At first, his wife was with me. She said, talk to him. I said, I'm talking to him. I said, man, don't do it. And then, but a man and his wife, if you keep talking, you're going to pardon her mind. Then she turned against me. Then I said, well, I lost this. I can't stop them. I knew we were going to end up in the ditch because you started out in the ditch. See, good people. Love them. I tried to reach out to them again, but they just was too stubborn, you know, and probably said too much and got too far out there. For shame's sake. Now, I ain't think about no shame. See. And then, I've had some experience. Pastor, I have no experience with good people. People just get too too much in a hurry. Here's what he means by strategy, because you got so many strategies out there now, and formulas and methods. Is a proper approach in achieving the desired target purpose. See, that's God's purpose. By the management of the resources, skills, and talent of the people involved, and by the selection of the right personnel, technique, and method to achieve it. In other words, a strategy includes a company of people. For a good strategy to become effectively implemented, there must be a winning team consisting of all the right personnel. Very important. I live that every day. I come in here like I want. If I don't come in, I don't come in. But I know that the ministry is being run like clockwork, by trained people. Got my children trained, and then all the other staff members just become like my children. They got the respect, they got the honor, and they're here doing it. Whatever said, they're right there listening to the Lord. I like this word too. At this stage, when they say that pioneering, the implementing of everything required, organizational flow, an organized flow. Thank God I got that. Hallelujah. The book tells me some things I got to know ahead. Organizational flow, flowing together.
Yes, sir.
See, we never will. As my wife always said, we never have no squadron here. One employee squad. Somebody going home today. Because will you let the devil get in here? No, we may see things different. Like I said, my children, they never had no fight. Not in front of me. I knock them out. They had misunderstanding, but they never scorn one another. I have four kids. I'm the same with my grandchildren. I ain't going to put up with it. They came up, I just sat at the table the other day with them. I said, listen, whenever I leave off the scene, I don't want y'all mixing things up. Y'all say, keep things just like I train you, and y'all look out for one another. Yeah, yeah. I write a live will. Yeah, look out for one another. I'm going to get crazy. I'm still here. So organizational flow. For the growing work of the Lord need to run smoothly. Yeah. And each man has to find his role and responsibility in the church. Now, I thank God, I have some powerful men in this church. Businessmen, they know their role, Lord. They know their role. They're in submission. But what I did, I trained them. What I'm doing, I'm training them, men and women. Training them. Very few people know this. I have a group of women I handpicked that serve me at my house every Sunday, me and my family, out of this church. Nobody know. They never talk about it. But they just work, and they serve us. We sit down and talk, and they just serve us. They leave here. They leave you ahead of us. They rotate. You can't do that, man. You can't have them people in the house like I got. Shoot, I ain't going back to this church. Where you get all this from? But them girls is taking care of business, man. But over the years, we raised them up. And I don't know, I have a gift in this area to just select people right quick. About 14 people, I've done it over and over again. And every now and then you might have, very seldom, I think the person might have started out right and got tripped some kind of way, but very seldom, very easy. God, the name come flipping in my head, and I just said, I want her. I think it was 18 of them. 18. It was 18 of children. 18. See. That been going on for months and months. I will serve him. Somebody needs to be serving me. All them sitting down here. What about the blessing?
That's right.
And them girls were able to get, I found something I did 20-something years ago. On a piece of paper, and I let them. I say, y'all take your phone and shoot that. Y'all do this. You know. So when they talk about still doing most of the pastoring, I never renege my position as a pastor. I don't care how much I grow and how much I go. At stage two, all pastoring of the flock is being done solely by the pioneer and pastor. Now, they definitely here know who is the pastor. And I mean, people love it because you ain't got to be looking at all these different people. The shepherd needs to check the condition of each one that is added to the church. He is the door of entrance, and he needs to discern the commitment and quality of each brick that he would be using to build the temple. You just can't let everybody be in the choir, everybody do this, everybody do that, everybody do this, do this. No. And the feeding and the caring of all the flock is essential. You know, Montreal, she has my spirit. Where's Montreal? I don't care if she can sing or not. I don't know if she can sing or not. But this child right here, you know, I see her and Kathy be saying, what her name? Yeah, her. No, this lady right here. What her name is? What's your name? Benita, yeah. I told you. They say they appoint the worshiper. Yeah, they appoint them. See, I need somebody with the spirit. I really don't need your voice.
Yes, sir.
Now, if you got a voice and you got a good spirit, that's good. But I'd rather have the person. You know, the child might sing. I don't know about no singing. You know, you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This is the way the Lord used me. You know, I told him my son. I said, put Kathy. And I got to the last name Thomas. Said, oh, he's thinking putting the Thompson in there. It don't make no difference. Put Kathy back there. She got my spirit.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Yeah. I want to see the glory fall.
Yes.
How many of y'all want to see the glory fall?
Yes,
oh, my goodness. My goodness, it changed everything when the glory fall. You understand what I'm saying? It changed everything when the glory fall. Then they said Lolita. I know Lolita's supposed to be in the choir too, but she's going to come back when Montreal bring her back. That's a test.
Yeah.
You see? Now, see why he called them out. See, I'm just following the Spirit.
Right.
It doesn't mean you're not right, me not right, but it's just God probably not training you, he's training somebody else.
Right, yes, sir. Right.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
But if you're scared, Larry, you're going to say, well, I can't say about her because she's, yeah. See, I didn't know the two were sitting right beside. They both come out of the choir.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Tell you what, some ain't going to get back in there.
Yeah.
I heard that side too. Hallelujah, that's right. Hallelujah. You know, you got a flow, man. You get a flow.
Yeah.
Organizing the flow.
Yeah.
Flows don't just come.
Yeah.
Flows have to be organized.
Yeah.
I'm going to close in a minute. So if I preach 900 times and you don't call you to preach, just sit down, shut up. You in my ministry.
Right. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
See, y'all be kidding to my, well, I got to let him preach. You ain't got to let nobody preach. Only point you come in and preach and get ready is Jesus. The shepherd needs to check the condition of each one that is added to the church. The top of the door, the feeding and caring of all the flock is his is essential, his priority, as he releases, listen to me now, the lighter administrative job to those who are raising in maturity of character. See, his job, my job here now, you know, I use my spirit when they ask me something, but my job here is I feed the flock, and I watch over the sheep, and God take care of everything here, and God give me the right people. Authority structure is directly under him. It is important of all administrative and organizational aspects to be properly coordinated with the pioneer and pastor and be subject to his full authority. Got that?
Yes, sir.
All right. He must be the one selecting the right people. Hey, I just did that.
Yes, sir.
He must be the one selecting the right people to be placed in the proper position of responsibility.
Yes,
whoa.
Yes,
see. See, selection, election. See, they like to vote on everything. So he says selection, election. See, the church went the election way. And that's where you got all that trouble, see, because nobody man up enough in the spirit to say, this the way it's going to go. And worry about who leaving and all that. You know, I tell you, boy, you do something like I'm doing in this church, in a Baptist church, they're a cloud. They're going down the Baptist down the street. They church jumpers, and none of them planted. And all of a sudden, they were planted, but some kind of way they pulled themselves up, and the Lord told me, go join that church there. I thought the Lord told you to come here. As soon as the pastor tried to straighten somebody down there, the Lord told you about the other church down the street. See, apostolically, class, we're going to have to realize a lot of things in the church that have been disorganized and the flow been broke by man-made ideas. So therefore, the majority of the body of Christ suffering now because things have not been done right. Are you following me? And, you know, that's where a lot of healing at. That's where a lot of finances at. That's where a lot of family peace is. Because the church, to a large degree, and leadership, is charismatic without no character. They are compromising without completing. You follow what I'm saying? If things are handled properly, scripturally wise, not dictatorship now, but in authority, government, if things are handled properly, the church membership, not in number on it, but in maturity, in their homework, in their own personal affairs, their own vision, they begin to grow, they begin to develop, they begin to know what to do. They begin to be powerful people. People not just talking it, but walking it. And there's two ways the man divide the book of Ephesians. One is wealth, walk, and warfare. Another one is set, walk, and stand. See, that's what you want, people. You want people. And then here's where you need to get your teeth on this. Three major things you need to get your teeth on. Seek God about everything. Secondly, wait on God about everything. And thirdly, trust God in everything. That'll take you a long way. Don't jump off in warfare. Go back and get the wealth. See, Ephesians 1 through 3, that's the wealth of that book. Chapter 4 and 5 is where you're walking at. And chapter 6 is where the warfare is. Now, when churches are not organized right, sit, first three chapters, walk, 4 and 5, stand. Have you done stand now. You're ready to stand now because you got something under your belt. Are you getting this, Clan? See, all these jumping nuggets are good now.
Yes, sir.
These are maturing factors here. You seek God faith. You wait on him. See, don't set your agenda up and then pray in tongue and ask God to bless it. See, pray in tongue till he tell you what to do.
Yes, sir.
Then thank him for blessing because he's going to bless it because he told you to do it.
Yes, sir.
Really, really. The perplexity, Paul, let me close with this. The perplexity and the despair and the persecution. Yeah, that's there. But really, if you're in God's will, just as the master said, my yoke is easy and my burdens are light, he meant it. You know, now ministry any given moment is a lonely job if you're really going to walk with God. Family or no family, you understand? You got to, it's you and God. But the goodness of God and the glory of God and the presence of God, it worth it all.
Yes,
sir. I wouldn't swap place with President Obama, Michael Jordan. No. And it's not based, my brothers and sisters, it's not based on the material thing. Even though I'm blessed with all kind of material things, but that's not it. My peace with God, my walk with God, my talk with God. Sometimes I feel God holding my hand. Sometimes I feel his hand on my back. and testifying that I'm your strength, son. You know, I'm not going to let you fall on your face. You know, it's the presence of God. It's knowing that God is with you. I tell you, one of the things you need to pray about is that God birthed thirst and hunger in you. Boy, if you ever can get that. You know, Jesus said, blessed are they who do thirst and hunger after righteousness. I ain't talking about going to no school. I ain't talking about no Sunday school. I ain't talking about being on no board or nothing. I'm talking about being hungry for God at your house, in your car, wherever you are. It does not come automatic. You have to want it. You have to look for him. Seek him in his word. Read it. I tell my grandson, you know, my grandson, they be on them computer and stuff. I like that. I see them computer stuff, you know. But man, you need a Bible, man. You know, if you're going to study sometimes. Sometimes study in the Bible. Don't just the sort of page can fall out. And you mark something red, mark something yellow, and then write something in it, you know. And, you know, that computer got so much stuff in it, you know. No, I ain't from the old school. I'm from the real school. You know, I said, son, I got to get you a Bible. You got to have a Bible. You got to have your own. He said, yeah, Papa, I give it out your own. No, your own personal Bible. It's just your sword, man. It's a sword of the Spirit, man. You think about Spirit working with it. Think about my dad. Say, well, they're older men. Yeah, but they had that sword, partner. And when they hit that pulpit, you know they got it, too. Huh? Yeah, now I bring my computer up here sometimes, hit it a little bit, you know. But man, listen, see this Bible? I wore many out, pages fell out, and I read them in the rain. I read them down in tank cars, but you couldn't hardly see. I read the Bible with a flashlight down in a hole tank, and just reading. No, I can't understand what I'm reading. I'm just reading. Oh, and page fall out. And a little small one you can put in your pocket because you're on a job. And so they start falling apart and you tape them. And then they just can't go no more. The page is gone. And so, you know, I don't know where none of them Bibles at. I warm out. Just warm out. Just read. Looking for God. Look at what. Then all of a sudden you get a nugget. God show you something. Then he give you experience. You know, where them days at? People see this charismatic, crazy-matic stuff. Get people to jump around and praying in tongue and hollering and running. And sometimes they don't know what they're running about. But the glory, man, the real glory. It's a real God. That's a real glory. That's a real presence. You hear, that's, he shows up. Tell you things that you can't find in no book. Show you things that you can't see with your natural eyes. That's a real God. And when we're in the school, you watching by internet and hook up with the school, you have to know that's a real God.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And you need to get a hold of him.
Yes.
And you need to know how much he loves you and what he has done for you. And you can't play no game. You got to really want to be what God wants you to be. And you got to stand. You got to be able to stand correction and direction and protection. Correction and direction for protection. Find somebody you have confidence in that is over you.
Yeah. Come on. Yes, sir.
Everybody needs somebody.
Right. Yes, sir.
But little clothes, he's a real God. He's touchable.
Yeah.
He walks in your room,
yeah,
and you know he's standing over you.
Yeah.
You know he's there.
Yeah.
Because he's real. People missing so many opportunities. Wasting so much time with all this stuff. No, you need to know. You need to get a hold of God for yourself. You need to ask him, where are you? Where are you? Every student in this room, every student watching us by the name, you need to recognize God is real, man. And we ain't got no time to be playing these games. These people set up these little games, these little gimmicks. You know, no. We got to be real with each other. that God can manifest in our life what he want to manifest. Man, God ain't through opening no Red Sea. He ain't through locking no lion mouth and stopping Goliath. He's still doing the same thing today. God ain't no modern God. God is the God. He's the God of heaven and earth. God wanted you to come to this school to see his glory. You don't learn two sentences. You just see his glory. Experience his presence. And God put his hand on you and change you and forgive you and set you right. And you make mistakes and he still help you. He said, I love you anyway. I love you. 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 Pray. Take time. Ask God. God. Say, God. Hey, say, God. Hey, God. I want what he got. Where the apostle get that from? I want that. See. I sat in a meeting many years watching an old prophet. I said, now this man got something. None of these guys ain't getting it. I'm not putting nobody down. But I said, I'm going to pay attention. I told my wife, I'm going to pay attention. And I learned the secret, praying in tongues. See, I prayed in tongues all through the day today. I pray in the porch. I go by the gazebo. I get in the swing. I go take my walk, my exercise. I'm praying in tongues so the Spirit of God can fall in this place tonight. He's here. And he's here to answer your any cry, any desire you have. He's here. Listen to what I'm about to say now. He's here to birth it for you. Birth it in the realm of the Spirit. Huh? Don't you come to this school and don't catch a hold of this. Don't you miss this. Don't miss this. This is not man. This is the Spirit of the living God. Oh, take a hold of me, God. Say it. Making me what need to be made. I'm willing to go. Teach me. Praise God. Praise God. That's it, Claire. Praise God.